America's space agency, NASA, is probably best known for sending astronauts to the moon and exploring the planets of the solar system. It has a reputation for tackling new challenges, for boldly going where no one has gone before, and for being open to new and unconventional ideas. But what happens when someone at a NASA lab is open about his belief in intelligent design? In this ID the Future series, we tell the story of David Coppedge, a team leader at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Southern California. Coppedge had his world upended when his supervisor took issue with him promoting intelligent design in the workplace. Now Coppedge has gone on record to tell his side of the story. So settle in as we explore the persecution of David Coppedge, Part 2.
But then I talked to my line manager one time later in that month, and he said, "Oh, HR is talking to a lot of people about you." And I immediately got suspicious that something bigger was going on.
This is part two of NASA on Trial, and that was David Coppedge, a Cassini mission team leader at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California. In part one, Coppedge described how he was chastised by his JPL boss for sharing DVDs on intelligent design. Coppedge then met with human resources for what he thought was an effort to reconcile him and his boss. But more was going on behind the scenes.
I got called by my group supervisor and line manager to a meeting. And I said, "What is this regarding?" And he just said, "Well, it's about the conversations you've had with HR. He was very evasive. And so I said, "Well, I don't know what this meeting is about, and this potentially involves a very serious matter. And I'd like to get some documentation if I'm being accused of anything, and what is the procedure for investigating employees, and some other documents. Plus, I'd like to know whether JPL follows NASA's guidelines on religious expression in the workplace."
Coppedge's group supervisor did not answer these questions, saying all that information would be provided at the meeting. On the day of the meeting, April 13th, Coppedge joked with him that for all he knew, the meeting could be a reward presentation for 12 years of faithful service.
I went with my group supervisor over to this meeting and met my section manager and asked first if it were possible to record the meeting. And they said yes, which was a good thing because now we had a record of what transpired at that meeting. Actually, it was against policy, I learned later, for them to record it, but I got the recording. What happened though was the first item of business was handing me a written warning saying I had violated JPL's unlawful harassment policy and business and ethics policy, primarily because of handing out DVDs on intelligent design. I was really shocked.
This written warning would go on Coppedge's permanent record, impeding his ability to advance in the organization.
To me, it was like going to court and getting the accusation and the verdict and the sentence all at once without any due process.
Coppedge's supervisors alleged that many had complained,
but they could give me no specifics, and it turned out they had no specifics. They were relying 100% on what this HR investigator had told them, and she told them very little. And at the end of the meeting, my group supervisor demoted me from the team lead position I had had for 9 years. They claimed I had harassed people, and if you read that written warning, it's very interesting because one of JPL's comebacks is that it wasn't the content of what I was sharing, it was just the manner that I was sharing it. But the written warning itself says that I was approaching people on topics that expressed my personal views. And it actually says one example of the harassment you were committing was sharing DVDs, which clearly express your personal beliefs. Now that's content, not manner. I was not beating people over the head with these DVDs and shoving them in their face. It was the very fact that I would dare to share controversial matters like intelligent design at work that was getting me into trouble. And being demoted was also an adverse action because it restricted my access to the other office managers, and this was announced to the whole Cassini program without any explanation of why it had occurred. And I think it left a lot of questions in people's minds about why did this happen.
Coppedge investigated and discovered that, according to JPL policy, he had a right of appeal.
So I said, great, I'll appeal this. Didn't say what the appeal process was or what you do, but I wrote a letter to the manager of human resources saying I feel that this was an unjust decision and I have evidence to rebut it and I'd like to appeal it. It actually took about 3 months. And talk about an appeal. You think you're going to get a fresh set of eyes to look at the evidence and independently make a judgment. But what happened was the same HR investigator and the same section manager were the only ones involved. And the section manager did not do any independent investigation of his own. He just, again, relied 100% on the HR investigator. And I told him, this is very strange for me to be appealing to you because you're the one who administered the discipline. And, well, he basically said he was just doing what HR told him to do, that he was the next step in the appeal process.
A month later, Coppedge's appeal was rejected.
Well, I got the formal reply on the middle of September, and it just so happened. And this was coincidental, I think, that was the time when my attorney sent a demand letter to HR. I think these two documents crossed in the mail because otherwise I don't think the appeal response would have been quite as stern as it was.
In September, around the same time as his appeal was rejected, Coppedge and his lawyer, William J. Becker, sent a demand letter to JPL stating that it had violated the law and Coppedge had a right to sue. Unless this was reversed and Coppedge was restored to his team lead role, there could be legal action.
Mainly what we wanted to accomplish was vindication that JPL had wronged me. We were not seeking monetary rewards or anything. We just wanted vindication and put things back the way they were. I still had my job at that point, but I was not the team lead anymore. And I was taking direction from one of my colleagues that I had given direction to for 9 years. Which was fine. He was a skilled administrator, but we thought that I had been wrongfully demoted and wrongfully cited for violations.
Coppedge did not sue on grounds of his First Amendment rights, which is federal law, but California employment law has a similar requirement protecting workers, so Coppedge brought his lawsuit in state court. Intelligent design isn't religion, but Coppedge's superiors at JPL perceived it to be. According to California law, religious discrimination based on an erroneous perception can still be religious discrimination. Because JPL management perceived intelligent design to be a religious belief, Coppedge had the right to express pro-intelligent design sentiments at JPL.
I tried to explain every time I could why intelligent design is not religion and why it's not the same thing as creationism. And I explained that in court as well. But there's this common misconception, as we know, in the media and in the courts and in the law and in academia, that intelligent design is a religious concept.
Although JPL had punished Coppedge for supposedly pushing his religious views, it became evident that JPL was highly selective in its concerns about religion and politics in the workplace. Coppedge was punished for merely offering people a few DVDs, but he says other co-workers, including JPL supervisors, were allowed to insert their religious and political views into all kinds of situations, including official staff meetings. Coppedge, it seems, was being held to a standard that didn't exist for others at JPL.
In fact, there's no policy against discussing religion, and over my years working there, I heard many conversations on many topics, including politics and religion. In fact, my own boss, to a captive audience in our staff meetings each week, would show political cartoons. And some of them had a particular political bent to them. There are frequent lectures at JPL about Darwinian evolution and the origin of life. And there are people who will have Darwin fish on their doors or cartoons mocking intelligent design or conservative politics and things like that, and they get away with it. But I was singled out for having views that differed from the consensus view. So we just wanted vindication and what's called status quo ante. In other words, put things back the way they were before the trouble started.
JPL sat on the letter for 7 months. Coppedge received no response. In April, Coppedge and his attorney filed the lawsuit.
Well, an interesting thing happened right before the lawsuit came out. They decided to rescind the written warning a week before. And so my section manager and group supervisor called me in for another meeting and announced what they thought would be good news, that, hey, the written warning is out of your file. And this sounded very curious to me because we all knew that the lawsuit was pending, including JPL's lawyers. They said that the written warning had been deemed inappropriate and that a verbal admonishment was sufficient. And so I wondered, well, who said that? And they said, we're not at liberty to tell you that, but that was a decision that was made.
Coppedge says it turns out JPL's lawyers had recommended rescinding the written warning. They knew the lawsuit was pending and tried to beat Coppedge to the punch. If the case went to trial, JPL could claim that he had only been verbally admonished, and so had no grounds for a discrimination case.
Our claims were still in place because there were still the restrictions on my speech, and I was not returned back to my team lead position. And so we still felt that I had been wrongfully demoted on discriminatory grounds, and I was still under the same restrictions. They said, oh no, you're free to talk as long as it's not unwelcome or disruptive. That was their two favorite words, as long as it's not unwelcome or disruptive. Well, how are you going to know that something's unwelcome unless you approach somebody? And all it would take would be for somebody to claim, well, that was unwelcome after the fact, and you could be cited again for another violation. So that happened, and then a few days later, the lawsuit was served, and it hit the presses, and stories started flying around the national media about this lawsuit.
In part three of NASA on Trial, Coppedge's opponents escalate, and he gets his day in court. If you missed part one of NASA on Trial, go to idthefuture.com to catch up. For ID the Future, I'm Todd Butterfield.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.